Psycho Man.
Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to episode 444 of the Motorcycle Men podcast. Today, I will be having a little chat with our good friend Craig Johnson, owner of Wild Ass Seats, who's celebrating his 10th year in business, and he is here to tell us all about it, and we're going to chat about some other things while he's here. But first, before we get into the interview, the Motorcycle Men podcast is brought to you by Scorpion Helmets. Now, they're offering high-quality, innovative motorcycle helmets and technical apparel at an incredible value. So learn more, get on over to ScorpionUSA.com, and make sure you tell them that the Motorcycle Men podcast sent you over. And, of course, Wild Ass Seats. You're going to improve your comfort and ability to stay in the saddle longer with a cushion from Wild Ass Seats. So if you're tired of those painful pressure points and fatigue, get on over to wild-ass.com and tell the real Craig Johnson that you want a cushion today. Save your ass. I use one on those long trips, and I'll tell you what, it really, really does work. And, of course, as always, Tobacco Motorwear. For the best in casual riding gear for men and women, there's only one place you should be going, and that is Tobacco Motorwear. Visit them at tobaccomotorwear.com, and our listeners will get 10% off your order when you use the code MOTOMAN. Now, everyone here at the podcast is wearing tobacco riding jeans, California riding shirt, and more, and we can't tell you how wonderful this stuff is. It's great. I wear it for every ride. I won't ride it without it. Now, your safety is worth it, so get on over to Tobacco Motorwear and get in Dave's pants. All right, time for that little chat with Craig Johnson. Okay, boys and girls, and here we are, episode 444. And joining us here today, all the way from lovely Minnesota, our good friend and sponsor, Mr. Craig Johnson from Wild Ass Seats. Craig, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Ted. How are things going?
Oh, man. You know, things are things.
Things are things.
You know, and I got you here because you are celebrating your 10th year in business. So, but before we get any further into that, for those who don't know who you are, please tell us who you are, what you do, motorcycle self, yada, yada.
You know, I hate that question because I don't always like talking about myself.
Well, but be brief. How's that?
Depends on who's asking me. It's Craig Johnson, the man, the myth, the legend, every woman's pet, every man's regret.
No. Wow. Taking it to the extra stuff. All right.
Owner of Wild Ass Seats. People, I mean, they listen to your podcast. You guys talk about it. I know. I've heard it. And I'm just a guy that was in the right place at the right time, doing the right things with the right people. And here I am living what they would say is the dream.
Living the dream. Yeah, man. 10 years, dude. How does it feel to hit that milestone?
It hasn't really hit me yet.
Really? Now, let me ask you this. When is the actual 10-year date? Did it pass already, or is it coming?
No, this all kind of started right around this time 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And it went from a discussion to a concept to a product to launch between August and March of that year. So March of 2016, we officially launched to the public at Bike Week in Daytona.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I guess where is the anniversary? I'm not really sure. We're kind of like in, and I don't know how you'd even say that, but.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Date, but it's this time.
Okay. Well, give us a little backstory. I mean, how did this all start? Was it just a full-on dive in, get into it, you know, side hustle at the beginning? Or did you just realize it was something you just wanted to do in full-time?
Well, here's another funny story. This all started, most people know that I was the face of AirHawk for years leading up to 2015. Most people don't know that the parent company, Rojo, had sold in April, May, somewhere in there. I don't know those details. That's just timing, whatever. But that company sold in May, and the guy that bought the company, when he took over, provided an immediate opportunity for me to go find something else to do. So I did. I took a month off and what am I going to do with myself? I really had no idea. This was not the first time that the industry had bitten me and decided it was time to go do something else. So,
oops.
My wife, who was girlfriend at the time, she was a little bit freaked out. She's like, what are you going to do? What are we going to do? What's going to happen? What's going on? What are we going to do? I said, don't worry. We'll figure it out. It always works out. I'll go sell cars. I don't care. So I ended up walking into the local Chevy dealer. Owner is a guy that I've known for years from previous lives. And literally jeans and a t-shirt, did everything wrong if you're looking for a job. And okay. Walked out of there with the job offer. And they asked if I could start tomorrow. And I said, no. And the sales manager looks at me like, what do you mean no? I'm like, tomorrow's Thursday. Like, I'm not going to come in on a Thursday and then work through the weekend. No. So we went back and forth and I ended up starting there. But when I did, we were watching what was going on in the past life. And I say we because there was two of us at the time. Scott Parman was at that company, was the European sales manager. I was the North American sales manager. And he's like, Craig, we can do this. We can start a new company. We can do this and we can make it better. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want any part of it.
Oh, really?
That's what I told him. And it was funny because I said, okay, here's the deal. I said, I will give you everything you need to be successful. I will give you all of my contacts. I will even fix all of the design flaws and I will help you design a better widget. But I don't want any part of it. And this went on for a while. And I mean, and when I say for a while, you know, we didn't have a lot of time, right? From, I think probably June until March, right?
Yeah.
So you start narrowing that calendar down. So now we get into like August, September. And he's like, nope, I gotta have you. I gotta have you there. You know, I'll give you half the company. I'm like, I don't know, man. Let me think about that. I talked to my dad and he's like, well, you got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, that's true.
Yeah.
So we did. And I came on board and then some other things came about immediately after. Oh, okay. So I came on board. We ended up selling, you know, the entire first order to Tucker Rocky Distributing, who's not around anymore. J&P Cycles picked up all of it.
Really?
They bought all of the pieces.
Wow. Yeah.
And we brought it to Daytona. And that was cool because it proved to me that people wanted us there.
Yeah.
So with our better design and better materials, we were there.
Wow.
So that's how it all started.
Did you guys have a building or a place you did the work out of, or was this like all garage stuff?
This was, I recently posted a picture on my social media of where it all started. And in my bedroom, right next to the bed, I live in a small house, there was a little like end table thing with my laptop on it, and my printer was beneath that, and there's just shit scattered all over the floor. That's where it started.
Wow.
Oh, when we got our first boxes, I mean, we were so excited, you know, we folded them up on the kitchen table and we outlined the door with them, you know, stacked them up. And
wow.
Yeah, it all started right there here in the States, and he was doing the same thing over in Italy, and that's where it started. We shipped everything right down to Daytona and got to work.
Wow. And now you're in a super huge facility and have thousands of employees, right?
I don't know about super huge. Or thousands. But we're not at home anymore, which
well, that's
is
good.
Really nice.
Yeah,
it's nice. I can get away and go home and be away from it as much as you can be as a small business owner, right?
This is true. So now, here you are. So in your first year, so you're there, you're working your first year. Did you look 10 years down the road, or did you just like was it one day at a time?
When we started in Daytona, we had a plan.
Yeah.
Like, we knew what we had to do, knew how hard I had to work, and, you know, was reaching out, making the contacts. And I would say, yes, I had a 5-year vision and a 10-year vision, probably.
Mm-hmm.
A month afterwards, we got hit with the lawsuit from previous company.
Oh, really? Okay?
Not Rojo. Those guys are phenomenal, awesome. But we hit a lawsuit. People have researched it, Googled it, whatever. It's fine. That immediately shortens up your vision.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of head down, get to work. And really, it was just making it to the next 6 months or the next. It got all the way down to making it to the next month. Like, here's what we got to do to make it to next month. It was rob Peter to pay Paul. It was, you know, pre-selling a bunch of product that we didn't even have yet. And I mean, it was insane. I was not gray before I started this company. Now I'm completely pretty sure I've completely run out of ink. Well, I like to say it's chrome.
Yeah.
But that was a stressful couple of years. That was incredibly expensive.
Yeah.
So it put my partner under a lot of stress. Some people are built differently. I think I'm a special kind of mental when it comes to certain things. But yeah, the lessons learned are priceless, right? So that put us like into somewhere in 2017-18. He developed a brain tumor. Doctors over there were like, this is, you know, stress is not helping this, and it was looking pretty sketchy for a long time. And we had to have this conversation, right? Of what happens.
Yeah.
And what happens if you die? What happens if I get killed on a motorcycle? Who knows what's going to happen? We need to figure this out.
Right.
So we figured out that it sounded evidently to him like I was the most likely candidate to survive and continue. But we waited until his brain was back. They went in, took the tumor out. It was a successful surgery.
Wonderful.
But there was like this, there's this 5-year window that 5% of people make it to.
No, I see.
And they, you know, we're going to do the surgery, and then your coherency is going to come back up. Your ability to speak, think clearly, and do all the things, that's going to come back up. And we had the discussion and we said, okay, in that window of time, we're going to get together. We're going to do the deal. And I actually ended up buying him out. We had the paperwork drawn up here, flew to Italy for, I don't remember, EICMA or Intermot, whichever one's in Milan, and did the paperwork.
Wow.
So I officially became responsible in 2019.
Yeah.
And here we are, whatever that is, 6 years later.
Yeah. Wow.
And he is, I'm super excited to say he's still alive. He's still
wonderful.
Doing well.
Wonderful.
And he's actually coming here to the States in a couple weeks.
Oh, great. So, oh, fantastic,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. His mom still lives here. She's,
wow.
If she's not 100, she's 99. I mean, like,
oh,
really,
geez,
close. So
really?
Longevity is in his family. So that's on his side. So that was good.
Now, when you were first starting up, did you guys like have this massive scramble to get your suppliers for everything you needed to get going, and or did you already have those contacts and they agreed to continue working with you?
No, had none of those. The people that made the other brand would not touch it.
Oh, no way.
And that just makes sense. I mean, if you're selling a company, you don't want to all of a sudden begin their competition, right? You want to see that continue to be successful. So that's, you know, I don't fault anybody at Rojo for not wanting to make our stuff, but they sold out to a company that wanted nothing to do with commercial marketing or sales. So Scott found us a manufacturer in South Korea that was willing to not only work with us as far as product materials, literally designs, everything is ours. And the quality is by far better than any of the competitors, not the cheapest, but, you know, in the long run, we kind of thought,
quality is important, of course, naturally.
Cheaper than customer service.
So. Absolutely. Wow. When you first started, I mean, I realized you hit Daytona was your first rally. Did you anticipate the need to hit all of these rallies and events? And how did that play into your future needs for the brand?
You know, events, I like them. A lot of people don't.
Really?
So that's a lot of work. You know, and what people don't realize about events is when you go to an event, as like you've gone, you ride to the event is there, it's all set up, you go home.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We have to go there, we have to set up the event. We're working on this, like I'm working on Biketoberfest, Triketoberfest, lodging, all of these different things now, and it's still 2 months away, month and a half. I'm typically 90 days out booked, mm-hmm. working on whatever events those are. So I knew those were a big part of the deal.
Yeah.
And I was cool with that. I love it.
Yeah.
I didn't know how little time I would have at home.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that is tough. All my friends, well, your total friend circle changes.
Oh, sure. I bet.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, it makes complete sense.
Yeah, the guys at home that you go riding with or whatever, you don't see them anymore. Because when they're off riding on the weekend, you're working somewhere.
Yeah.
When I get home and I can take, if I can take a day off to go riding, it's probably Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday.
Right.
You know, it's probably not Thursday because we're usually packed up and heading down the road again.
Yeah.
But Tuesday, Wednesday, if I want to take a day to go riding, I got to do it during the week, which is also cool because where I live, it's vacation country, so there's less traffic. But but you miss a lot of, you know, events, family events. You miss a lot of.
Yeah.
School events, you miss a lot of just things that you don't normally miss, which fortunately my family's used to it, so it works.
Well, do you see more sales, online sales, or do you see most of your sales coming from the events?
Boy, sheer numbers, that's a different question wherever we go. We sell a lot at events.
Yeah.
Events you kind of have to look at as a marketing expense.
Oh,
because when, you know, for instance, if we go to Americade in Lake George, New York, we're paying for lodging, we're paying for meals, we're paying for travel, we're paying for booth space.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And what a lot of people forget about is cost of goods. We also have to pay for the stuff we bring. So we might go, and let's just say you have 10 grand in sales. Well, you got 10 grand in all those other expenses, right?
Yeah.
And you haven't paid for your cost of goods yet. So it's a weird way of looking at things differently that most people don't understand, because you show up at an event, you sell a bunch of product, you make all this money and you go home. Right.
And then you find out you broke even.
We didn't get there for free.
Right. Of course not. No, of course not.
So we look at it as marketing, but the flip side is, every event we go to is a check mark when you place an order on our website. So, you know, when it gets through the thing, and a lot of people, some people don't always check them off, and that's fine. But some people do. They'll say, I heard about you in Sturgis. I heard about you at Americade. I heard about you at the BMW rally. Then we know where we're working.
Right.
You know, but, and it's funny because we'll get Sturgis orders 2 weeks before Sturgis. So we hand them the brochure in Sturgis, and a full 10 months later, 11 months later, they'll place an order for a product that they saw last year.
Wow. Oh, man. Yeah.
So
it's a long time to wait for a sale.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But the rallies are now, we talked about this briefly once. The rallies are expensive, though. For you, yes, as a vendor,
they're incredibly expensive.
Incredibly expensive. Not only are you paying for your space, but I think what a lot of people don't realize is that you also have to pay taxes on everything you sell.
Correct.
And is that number vary with the moon phase, or is that a constant?
No, it's different. Everywhere.
That's crazy.
You know, Lake George, for instance, and I don't even know why. Maybe because I have this. I was doing some office cleaning, and I have this little paper here that they send you, the state of New York. You have to fill out an application to be there, and then they send you this thing. You're
Tax ID number and all that?
Yeah, your valid, your temporary certificate of authority. I don't really know what's on here that can be grayed out. But anyway, it looks like this when it comes in the mail. You have to have that on display. Well, you charge, you got to pay, I have to pay the New York State sales tax and whatever cut Lake George thinks they should get, whatever cut their county thinks they should get, and transit authority, whatever the hell that is.
The transit authority?
You know, whatever. I mean, what? It's crazy. And yeah, so everywhere we go, that's a thing.
There's like somebody, there's somebody standing there with their hand out, roughly.
Everywhere.
Wow, yeah. That's crazy. Now, are you finding that each event, are they all about the same as far as it goes for their pricing, for their booth, their space? No, they're all different, huh?
Yeah, they're all different.
I have to imagine that Sturgis is the most expensive.
Sturgis is quite expensive. If you're there, I do happen to know that a 10 by 10 booth at Black Hills Harley-Davidson is $5,000.
Jeez, so you got to move a lot of product to cover that.
Correct.
That's crazy.
You know, and that's not, you don't sell $5,000 worth of cushions to cover a $5,000 booth.
No.
Because out of that $5,000 is your cost of goods, but then you also have to remember what it cost you to get there.
Yeah, of course.
And what do you got to pay your help and what you got to pay to feed your help. And yeah, I mean, it's pretty.
Wow, man.
I don't want this to come across as I'm complaining.
No. Because it's
not.
Just.
I absolutely love it.
Right. It's just a, it's the nature of the beast, I suppose. Right?
It's the business side of things that keeps people out of business.
This is very true. But you keep doing it, so you have a great level of persistence and want for success. You know,
a special kind of mental.
Special kind of mental.
And it beats a real job.
Yeah, you know what? In the end, you're your own boss.
Yep.
You know, you decide when and where you're going to go, how much you're going to put into it, and how much you work. So, and which is a good thing. And anybody should want that, right?
Yep.
How many people make up the Wild Ass Camp?
Well, counting myself, two.
Two?
There's two of us here full time. Of course, you've met Callie.
Yes.
So we are the only two here full time.
Okay.
My wife is probably our biggest help and support. Mine for sure. But she burns a lot of vacation time to come and help and work events.
Wow, man. Wow.
And then we get a couple other. I mean, you know, you've been to Sturgis. Yeah. I think this year we had probably 12 of us total.
Oh, really? And these are just temporary hires that you bring on to help you with rallies?
Yep.
Is it basically like the same people, or do you get different people for different rallies?
Well, what's crazy, one of the guys I graduated with.
Wow.
So in the first year, you know, you're struggling, you can't find anybody.
Sure.
So you're like, hey, I know you ride. You want to go to Sturgis? You want to work? You trick them into a motorcycle event, and then you bring them to work, and they don't get to ride, right? So he's been there every single year. So now it's tradition. He's stuck with me. I got a lot of industry friends,
yeah,
you know, that know the stuff, they know the deal. And my family's been super supportive. My dad comes out every year and helps just because he loves it. My uncle comes out every year and helps. He loves it.
Mm-hmm.
My son's been out there, you know, he thought it was cool and he did a great job. I got a cousin that goes with, used to go with and do a couple of events, but I try to get the same people for the same events. So like Daytona, Larry has been coming with me. He was an industry guy for 30 years.
Yeah.
And then he bought a resort up here in Minnesota. Well, resort industry is a little slow in the winter. So he came down, I think he was going stir crazy. He's like, God, you know, you think, God, is there any way, man, can I come and help you out maybe? I'm like, well, hell yeah. So he comes down to Daytona every year, and then we pick up a few people along the way, and we lose some along the way. But I try to keep the same group in the same event because when you come to that event,
it's a familiar face for people.
Yeah, familiar face. We want you seeing the same people, talking to the same people, and it's kind of cool how you're not a customer when you come up to the tent. It's like you're an old friend, and we've seen you before. And
yeah, yeah.
We get to know the stories, and we get to see people. And every event, people come back every year to see us just to say hi.
Yeah.
So it's that's pretty unique. So to have the same faces there all the time is really cool.
Yeah. Now, well, I'm bringing up another question, but first I want to hit you. Like, now, so you're there at an event. Are you parked at that event, that one location, all the time, or do you get a day off
during the event?
Yeah.
No, we're every day.
No. I'm saying, okay, maybe rephrase that question. At any point, like you're working, you got other people there with you. Do you take a day off for yourself?
No.
So you're there all the time, and you're there all the time every day.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, if we also, because there's two of us, if we sell something online, we have to ship it from wherever we are.
Oh, really? Okay.
So if, you know, for instance, in Daytona, we'll pack, you go, you work the booth, you go home at night, you have, well, half the team's making supper. Callie's usually packing and getting ready for shipping, and I'll help her with that, or Renee will help her with that, whatever. Somebody will jump in, help with that, get everything packed up. Then we eat supper. Then it's, you know, go to bed, because tomorrow you got to get up and do it all again. At some point, you know, during the morning, I'll jump on the bike or I'll take the vehicle or whatever and run to ship stuff. You know, so I get out. I don't take time to go see the sites or anything. You know, we, two or three years ago, we would leave for an event early.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have to rush there. We could stop and see some things.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not always work. Yeah. You know, get a little bit of a break in there, because, you know, keep in mind, my only employee never gets weekends off either.
This is true.
So, and I not tell her to take time off, but she doesn't. So, you know, try to break it up a little bit. Yeah. This year we haven't done it at all. We've been just way too busy.
Now, so I do know that up at Sturgis, you have two locations. Now, is that the case every rally? You have two different locations?
Well, it didn't used to be.
Oh, really?
Now in Daytona, we have two locations. Oh, wow. That started last year.
Okay.
We started at Teddy Morse's Harley Davidson, which is adjacent to J&P Cycles.
Mm-hmm.
What's crazy is J&P's lot in Daytona. You've been there, I think.
No, I have not. I've never been to Daytona.
Okay. Well, you live close enough now, so we'll see you this spring.
Is true.
the lot, our booths are probably 400 yards apart.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. So when we set up over at the Harley dealer, people go, are you new? Like, how long you been in business? I've never heard of this before. Like, we're set up 400 yards away. We've been there for 9 years.
People don't pay attention. That's the problem.
It's crazy. It's crazy how many people walk right past one to go to the other and never see anything in that lot.
Wow. You know, thing is, I know, I don't know about how last year at Sturgis, it was hot. How was it this year at Sturgis? Was it hot up there?
It was perfect.
Oh, really?
There may have been a few sprinkles one of the days, maybe two of the days.
Yeah.
It rained at night. The daytime, it got warm.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember, like, when you were there a couple of years ago, it was burning hot.
It was
like,
brutal.
For days. I don't remember it getting that hot.
Yeah.
But we didn't have the storms like we had when you were there either. I think when you were there, I mean, you brought the storm. I mean, it was bad. And this year, the weather was great.
In 2023, it rained a crap load in 2023. And I knew that you guys, last year in 2024, it was just abysmally hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the thing. So this year
it rained, I think. Okay, so then it rained before you got there.
Yeah.
Last year.
Yeah.
2 years ago. I remember that too. Yeah.
Yeah, it was brutal. Wow, man. How much do you think you spend a year on shipping costs?
Oof. That's a number I'd rather not disclose.
See, you know, it's funny because, you go to the rallies, you have the rally cost, and then you have to get there, and then, of course, you got your product, and nobody thinks about the amount of shipping costs that you must incur to get all these goods around. And, you know, it's not like a letter. It's not a one little stamp you're slapping it on. Those are big boxes you got to ship out.
Yeah, truckloads.
You know, and because I imagine you have international sales.
We do.
Yeah. And we know how expensive that is.
Yes, we do.
Wow.
For instance, to ship to Europe can be like $70.
That's insane.
So they're buying a cushion and paying $70 to get it. Yeah. I feel terrible. We can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
We have dealerships. We have retailers over in Europe. We have retailers in South America. We have them all over the place. But they don't like to stock the high-end stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's so expensive.
Wow.
So the fix for that is the customer orders the high-end stuff on our website and pays $70 to ship it.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean it's unfortunate. Our retailer in the UK does a really good job of keeping products, so we use them for a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. We basically will just call, you know, email the customer and say, hey, get a hold of RNG Racing.
Wow. It almost might be better for them to just fly over here and put a whole bunch of them inside of a big suitcase and then fly back.
There was a guy in Sturgis this year. That's what he does.
Really? No way.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's funny.
I can't remember where he lived. Sweden, I think. And he showed me a picture of his bikes. He had a couple Harleys, a Road Glide, and I think he had a I can't think of the name of it. Mind blank. But it was like the sporty one now. The Lowrider ST.
Okay.
He's got one of those. And badass looking bikes. And he was here with like buying lighting and all these expensive things because it's cheaper to fly here, put them in a suitcase and bring them home. I think he said he's spending 10 grand.
That's crazy. Holy crap.
And bringing it home.
That is crazy. Wow. Oh yeah. Man. So
that happens
in the industry. Well, what has changed for you for the brand in these 10 years? I mean, how has the industry changed for Wild Ass Seats?
Man, that's a good question. I think there's so many different sides to the industry.
Yeah, of course.
But like, you know, right now, used motorcycles are hot. That's where the money's at.
Yeah.
Well, used motorcycles, if they're getting old at all, you can't buy seats for them. That's a huge plus for me.
Yeah.
But as far as my side goes, like the motorcycle seating industry, nobody does what we do as good as we do it. So the hard part is when new motorcycle sales are up, we're about a year behind it.
Oh, really?
Because they That's buy the bike, they think it's cool. So they buy a custom seat that they think is cool. And then a year later, they're like, that seat sucks, man. And then they come and find us and go, man, I wish I would have never got that custom seat.
But, do you get a lot of guff from the seat people?
Well, no, we all get along. We all see each other at the events. the cruiser market, that's pretty saturated. Adventure market's really good.
Yeah.
When you look at that. So we do pretty well in that side of things. BMW, Triumph. Pan America, the few people that have those, great bikes, but they're just not that popular. Side by sides too.
Really?
We do really well with side by sides.
I would never imagine that with side by sides. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
No kidding. So, I mean, as far as it goes for all the different, I of course, cruisers are probably your biggest sale, but I mean, what's after that? Do you see a lot of adventure guys coming in, sport bike guys coming in?
Yeah. Adventure guys. Yeah. Touring people, you know, touring bikes are riding adventure bikes.
Yeah.
They're more comfortable.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, that's what I find anyways. But, you know, the reason, you know, we're so heavy in the Harley industry is that's the only group that does events like they do.
Yes, this is true. This is true. Yeah. Yeah. Any consideration to doing any rallies overseas, or is that just way out of the ballpark?
There's a couple that I've seen. But it's not yet.
Yeah. Not there yet. Huh?
I, It's coming.
That's good.
Yeah. I mean, we're 10 years in and I feel like we're just getting started.
Oh, well, that's good. That's a good feeling to have. Yeah. Wow.
Yep. So maybe soon. There's this thing called the High Seas Rally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've wanted to do that. I've reached out to the people. I don't know if they don't want me there or what the deal is. So that's it is what it is.
I guess, you know, bringing your truck and setting up a booth would be a little difficult on a boat.
It's a little different. I think it's done a little differently there.
Yeah, it is. So it's definitely done differently.
I don't think it would be I mean, nobody's riding. So
no, of course not.
It's everything would be shipped to home, I'm sure.
Yeah. I do know it's an expensive trip, though. For somebody who's going to attend the High Seas Rally, it's pretty pricey.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay with that.
Yeah.
Because that customer is good for me.
Yeah. It's because a little bit more cash in the pocket. You got any new rallies you're going to be going to? Anything different coming up?
Man, we picked up, we've done a couple. We have some. Yeah, I do have some coming up. So last year we tried this rally called Eagle Wings.
Can't say I've heard of it.
Yeah, probably not. Last year was the second one, and it was pretty small. It was in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Do you remember the Gold Wing Road Riders Association?
GWRRA. Okay.
So that was a for-profit organization, and the people who ran it, I don't know the details, if they were getting old and tired and wanted to quit doing it and enjoy life, or if they just wanted to stop doing it, or what the deal was. But that organization went away.
Mm-hmm.
And this Eagle Wings, it's Eagle Wings is all I know. They kind of picked up and took off with it. And it's the same thing. I believe it's a for-profit club, and they have chapters all over. And they did an event 2 years ago. Last year was their second. We were invited, and it was in Green Bay, which is not far from home.
No, it's close.
Actually, just Renee and I went to that one, and we had a blast.
Really?
It's a little older crowd. It's Gold Wing people, primarily. They're trying to get more cruisers, more different bikes in there than just Gold Wings.
Mm-hmm.
We talked to a lot of Can-Am riders, but everybody was in a good mood. Everybody was having fun. It was a super fun event, and we loved it. So we signed up to do it again. And that one was just recently, which I had to bail on because in Sturgis we sold all of our product.
Really? Oh, that's great.
I literally have nothing left.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I called them, said, I can't make it, you know, put us down for next year. So they did.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to try Bikes, Blues, and Barbecues this year.
Oh, yes. I've heard of that one.
Never done it. I've heard of it. It used to be in Fayetteville, Arkansas. I've heard mixed reviews on how it's been, how it's going, and what direction it's headed.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always wanted to try it, and the stars aligned, so we're going to try it this year. Right.
Have you been to Ohio Bike Week yet?
No.
Okay. Should check that one out. It's up in Sandusky, Ohio. Right there on what lake it is? That Lake Erie? Yeah, it's Lake Erie. Right.
Yeah, it'd be Lake Erie, yeah. Where Tommy Boy was placed.
Yeah, check it out. I can actually hook you up with one of the people who run it. So we can talk about that. Hey, in the last 10 years, do you have any memorable moments that just stick out for you?
So many.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's so many.
Throw a couple at me.
Like a customer memorable moment. If you've heard me on any podcast, you've heard me talk to this girl. I cannot for the life of me remember her name. She's from Omaha, the Omaha area. Came up to us in Sturgis. I know exactly where I was set up. I know exactly where I was standing. She was holding her dog. She came up and she was kind of shy. And she says, yeah, you sold me one of these last year. And I just wanted to stop by and, you know, tell you it did everything you said it was going to. You kind of talked me into it and it did everything it was supposed to. And I just wanted to say thank you. I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's nice.
Didn't think much of it, right? But she wasn't an old person. You know, and kids don't typically come and do this, right? And when I say a kid, like 20s would be my guess. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. You know, would you say that on camera? And she goes, sure. So I get my phone out and I record a testimonial with her. And I'm like, that's pretty neat. Well, we get done and there's this guy kind of standing off to the side and talk to him. I like, everything all right? He's like, well, yeah, I'm her dad. I'm like, oh, cool. That's really great. You know, I love it when kids come up, and I first off love that she's a girl and she's riding, because it's all cool. And, you know, it's awesome. So love it. He goes, yeah, but she didn't tell you the whole story. And I went, what's the whole story? What do you mean? He says, well, years back, she got hit by a car and it broke her pelvis. So she couldn't sit. Sit on a motorcycle. It hurt too bad.
Oh, wow.
You know, she could still ride a motorcycle, but it was, we couldn't do any trips, nothing. She goes, but this is what our family does. We go and, you know, we go on these family trips. Her brother rides, her mom rides, I ride, and she rides. We all ride our bikes. We take off and we do these riding trips. He goes, so once she got that cushion, now she's able to join us again. So you've brought our whole family back together doing what we love to do. And I was like, wow.
That's awesome.
And that
man
was super impactful. So that sticks out. I had, you know, the reason we all get into this industry is because we love to ride.
Yeah.
You know, we like to ride motorcycle. And one of the, I was at, again, I know exactly where I was. I was in Great Falls, Montana, working the BMW rally. Ran into this guy, his name is Cole. Cole and his wife, Susie, came up and saw us at a BMW rally years previous. Mm-hmm. So much pain, she couldn't take it. Came back the next day in tears of joy because we just fixed her life, right?
Yeah.
So wow. He comes up to me in Great Falls, and I got, you've seen my Harley. It's black and yellow. Yep. I got the BMW. It's black and yellow. They're sitting on the, kind of like framing the booth as you walk up. And he goes, man, those bikes, those are good looking bikes. Where'd you find those? And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, well, did a dealer have those? Or like, how'd you get them? I'm like, well, those are mine. And he like, total sincere reaction. He goes, wait, you actually ride?
Oh, man.
So, and I'm like, yeah, every chance I can. But that stuck with me. And I was like, you know, if my customers don't know I ride, do I really ride?
Wow, really? Yeah.
So that was kind of a very pivotal moment for me in realizing that I've stopped doing what I love to do.
Wow.
So, you know, talked with Renee, and it was funny because that particular trip, we had planned on staying an extra couple days. We were going to go around Glacier. We were going to go do the going to the Sun Road.
And right, yeah.
Fart around a little bit before we headed home. And so I get to thinking of how much I've ridden since I started the company, and it's very, very little.
Wow.
And at this point now, I'm getting to know a lot of the Hoka Hay riders because they're all using my stuff, swearing by it, loving it. And I'm like, I kind of want to do that. You know, if I know I can, it's just riding a motorcycle.
Yeah.
And like, that would show my customers that I can ride. And, or that I do ride, not that I can ride.
Yeah.
There's a difference. And so I said, okay, I want to do that. So that must have been in 21 because, no, it must have been in 20 because then when the registration came available in 21, I didn't know the entire schedule yet of the 22 events. And I was like really trying to get all these events, and all the stars had to line up perfectly. And, you know, I had to have these two weekends or three weekends, the start weekend, the middle weekend, and the finish weekend back to back to back. I had to be open, which never happens ever. And as it turned out, the stars aligned and I was able to drop that in the schedule too. So I did that, and that really turned some heads of like, okay, this guy actually does ride. He actually uses his product. He believes in it. And now he's got a shit ton of credentials, right?
Yeah.
His credibility is through the roof now, which helped a ton.
Yeah. Wow.
And then, you know, being I grew up as a dirt biker, so that's my real passion is riding off road. I heard of this thing called the GS Trophy. That's a competition. Are you familiar with
that? I'm not.
It's a skills competition on adventure bikes, the GS. So I'm like, I was asked by the guy at BMW. He's like, hey, do you want to vent at that event? We're going to do it. People ride there from all over. I don't know if you're going to sell anything, but we'll give you the space. We'll just let you set up.
Oh, that's awesome.
I love
what
you're doing. I love what you're about. You know, and you got a BMW in your booth. I'd love to see you there. I'm like, okay, cool. So found out where it was. I got a buddy that lived 20 minutes away. So really it was my gas to go there. And that was my expense.
Wow.
So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go check this out. About 3 weeks before the event, maybe two even, I go online and I search. I'm like, I should see what this is. Like, I don't even know what the trophy is.
Right.
And Amazon has a show on the 2020 BMW GS Trophy. I'm like, oh my God, I want to do that. So you qualify for Team USA. And if you make the team, you get their bike, their equipment. You get all the gear. You get an all expense paid trip to wherever.
Yeah.
To compete as Team USA. I'm like, oh, I want to try that. So I call to BMW and I'm like, man, I'm trying to sign up for this thing, but I can't find a link anywhere. And Ricardo is the guy that answers the phone. He goes, well, sign up ended months ago. I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, that explains it.
Who? Yeah. I'm like, okay, you know, whatever. He's like, well, who is this? So I told him, I said, yeah, I was talking to Aaron and, you know, he had asked if I'd come down and set up. And I said, yeah, but thought, well, since I'm going to be there, I should just, you know, I kind of want to play too. Nobody's going to be watching me if they're watching the event. Yeah, right. They're talking to me. So he's like, let me give you a call back. So he calls me back. He says, all right, I can't get you a parking sign. And I can't get you a jersey. But if you want to do it, you can. I'm like, take my money. Yeah, so really. I'm like, I don't need a parking sign. I don't need a jersey. Really. I'm just going to ride my motorcycle. My bike's going to sit in my booth. I don't care. And I learned what I suck at. And then I actually tried to qualify for the next one, which would have been in 20. That was in 23. So in 25, I tried.
Yeah.
No, that was 21. 25, I tried to qualify.
Yeah.
And I have the not easiest bike to do it on. But I qualified sixth out of the top, the first round, which was, I don't know how many bikes. And I made it to the semifinal.
All right.
And then nobody really can believe how I missed the final, but I didn't make the final.
Oh, wow.
So we don't know how close that was. It was a scored event.
Yeah.
Yeah, those, you know, whatever. I didn't make the team.
Is it like an obstacle course thing you got to do?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of. You know, you've seen the police.
Yeah, yeah.
Route things, that training things,
right?
But on dirt.
Okay.
On dirt, yeah. And you know, like there's team events where you got to get your motorcycle across, you know, maybe the length of light poles using 2x4s. You know, you get you know, 12-inch 2x4s, basically long enough to go across there, and you got to like manipulate the 2x4s, and four people got to get the bike down, and
oh wow,
the length of, you know, it's random things like that. Balance beam. There's like a 32 foot long 4x4. You got to be able to ride along that.
Wow. Crap.
You got to be able to do, like, there's some pretty crazy stuff. Like, you got to climb a hill. It's like almost like a jump. And when you get to the top, you got to stop and get the bike turned, because you only have whatever, 8 or 10 feet before you hit the banner that scores points. Right. So you got to do all this and manipulate the bike, and
wow,
a lot of really slow stuff, a lot of really technical
definitely
stuff.
Wicked really, skills,
really,
yeah,
really, yeah,
skills
really
competition. Wow, okay. Well,
somewhere scrolling through my Instagram, you'll see. You can go back and find. I videoed the entire final was the semifinal was recorded.
Oh, okay.
And I put it in sections, and then I put red arrows saying "dab" every time I put my foot down. So if you scroll through my Instagram, the real Wild Ass Craig, sorry, at Wild Ass Craig. You can scroll back and you can find those and see what that is.
Well, you got to send me a link to that. I'd love to watch that, just to see watch that event. That seems really cool.
Are you an Instagram user?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, so I'll send it. You'll be able to watch it. But it's like the entire run was maybe 4 minutes long, so it's four individual videos.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'll send it to you. It's pretty fun.
That'd be pretty cool. Looking forward to seeing that. Hey, what's next for Wild Ass Seats?
In what department?
Everything.
I'd like to find an employee to work here in the shop. Uh-huh. You know, one of the struggles is trying to find people that are going to do things that you want done in a reasonable fashion for a reasonable price.
Mm-hmm.
And getting my own things embroidered has been one of the biggest pains in my ass since starting the company.
Really?
So I bought the embroidery machine.
I did see that post that you actually bought some sort of machine that involves thread. So I just, what's that all about?
So that's it. So like these hats, I do them myself. All of our hats, all of our, anything embroidered, we do it right here. The problem with an embroidery machine is it's not only a problem getting it for me. Mm-hmm. So as people find out that I do this, that machine needs to stay running. So I need somebody to run that for me.
Oh, wow. Really? No kidding. Really?
That's kind of like a little spinoff that just going to be another income generator, I guess. But we can do anything.
Yeah.
I got some pretty cool customers that are buying a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And now that's leading to more. So I need that. But, you know, that's not necessarily Wild Ass. That'd be a spinoff company. Did you see our flannels?
No. Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I did. I saw it on the website.
Right? Yep. I thought I would try those. Those things are awesome. Man, they turned out so good. So that we're going to probably pursue that side-by-side market a little bit heavier. We got there's a lot of demand there. People that are using them are loving them. And, as far as the event, you know, in 26, you're going to see Craig being a whole lot more focused. And you're not going to see a lot of playtime.
Really?
Next year. There's, like I said, we made it to 10 years and we're just getting started. And next year is going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah. What's this coffee business thing going on now?
So, all right. So if you look at the coffee on our website.
Stubborn Goat Coffee.
Stubborn Goat Coffee. So you follow me, so you know that we're pretty involved with the Mile Monsters.
Yep.
That's a fundraising group. They raise money for kids.
All right.
Specific kids, not all kids. Kids with Duchenne muscular dystrophy. And Duchenne muscular dystrophy is very specific to boys. These boys, it's a muscle wasting disease. So to make it quick, simple, and morbid, at 10, they don't usually have their ability to walk. They lose that by 10. So that confines them to a chair. They're on steroids, which does nothing good for their health other than keep them alive. And, you know, your heart and your respiratory system is all muscle. Eventually, you know, to see 20 is a blessing.
Wow.
Into their low 20s is usually when they pass. So what that is simply Mile Monsters raising money. You know, we help these boys live their best life.
Right.
So we're not funding research. We're not funding stuff like that. It's literally things to make their life better. And it's anywhere from a brand new handicap accessible wheelchair van.
Mm-hmm.
Mile Monsters have now fully bought two of those.
Wow.
Four families. That started, if you read Chris Hopper's book, Turbo, out of Southern California. The family was like 10 grand short or something like that. Wow, I could be wrong, of getting their van. So they wrote out their motorcycle, wrote the check and said, give them the van. And the van goes to the family.
Wow.
So it's anything from that to one of the boys simply wanting a thing that I never even knew existed, which was basically a toilet paper glove. So his mom didn't have to wipe his own ass.
Wow.
Because these kids are, I mean, it's humiliating, right? You're a teenager and your mom's got to do this for you.
Yeah.
So anything in between, literally.
Oh, wow. That's great.
PlayStations for the kids. You know, a lot of people think, well, that's what the hell do they need a PlayStation for? You know what? When you're trapped to your bedroom.
That's right.
That's your connection to the outside world. And these kids play the games together and they communicate with each other. And that's just one of the things. They were in Sturgis Hot Springs, South Dakota, for the end of the Hokahe in 2022.
Yeah.
They were, and Mile Monsters paid for all of this, the boys and their families to come to the Black Hills for that. They were in Sturgis in 23 for the Monster 100, all the families, the boys and their families. In 24, they were in Lebanon, Kansas, the center of the lower 48. And then this year, they're all coming to headquarters right here. I think this is going to air right after the party, but the Mile Monsters Crash Bash is coming right here. And then they're crashing our 10-year birthday party that we're shutting the street down for here.
That's awesome.
So that's a long story to talk about the Stubborn Goat Coffee. The Stubborn Goat, the goat is one of those kids with Duchenne muscular dystrophy. So his name is Gavin. His mom, Jessica, and dad, Manuel, they started the Stubborn Goat Coffee Company to offset medical expenses.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Because insurance doesn't cover this stuff. Nothing does. I mean, it's all experimental. So what happened is they, and this is like a year or 2 years ago already, I've talked to her about this, and that's how long the coffee's been on our website.
Wow.
They sell so much coffee, it covers all of the expenses.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So it's a fundraiser.
That's wonderful.
So the least I can do is have it available on my website.
Absolutely.
Yeah, wonderful. Now if you get $300, it's free freight on my website. So if you buy a cushion, that's $250. And then you want to buy a t-shirt, that's $25. Well, now you're a little short. We'll throw some coffee on it.
Yeah.
Right? You're going to get free freight.
Wow.
So I typically, like literally when I get the order, I'll screenshot it. I'll send it to Jessica and say, got this one for you. And then I take that money and I forward it right to her.
There you go. Awesome.
And it just goes to her. So it's not a profit center for me, but it's, I feel like it's the least I can do to help.
That's wonderful, man.
Somebody who's helping themselves. It's pretty cool.
That's really
cool. And we've become friends with all the boys and their families. So that's what the coffee's for. Jenny's blend. Well, that's because, you know, a female donkey is a Jenny.
I didn't know that.
So yeah, we formulated that flavor with them, and they it's wild ass coffee. So
it's awesome.
Jenny's blend. You see the logo, it's ours.
Do you bring this stuff with you to the rallies?
We do.
Oh, you do? I don't recall
ever seeing.
Oh, really?
No, we don't sell it.
Oh, you don't sell it? Oh, why not? Oh, you should.
No, it's back at the house being consumed.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How can people learn more about the company, meet you, and try your products out?
You know, the best way to learn about us is go to our website and subscribe to our newsletter. Mm-hmm. Go to wild-ass.com. Subscribe to that newsletter. We come out with that the first of every month. You can see what's going on in the world. We don't spam you with a bunch of other stuff. We don't sell your information. I'm too lazy to do all that. The other best way to get to know us or get to know me personally is to go to Instagram, which I kind of slacked on, but I am Wild Ass Craig on Instagram and Facebook. I am Craig Johnson on Facebook, and I don't typically accept friend requests in the first month. So if you send me a friend request, it's going to sit there a while because you know all the fake ones go away.
Oh, sure, of course, yeah.
So I don't even, if they're not 4 weeks old, I don't even look at them.
All right.
And on Facebook, we're friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
Most of those pictures are a year behind anyways because I'm a little behind in posting, but just pay attention to your dates and don't believe anything you see on Facebook. And
this is true.
We'll get along just fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Any closing words?
Man, keep it upright. Keep riding.
Awesome.
Don't quit.
Exactly. Don't quit.
Yep.
Keep riding. Listen, Craig, I want to thank you very much for being on the show and telling us all about it. Congratulations on your 10 years.
Thank you, my friend.
Enjoy your party you're having. Wish I could be there.
That's going to be.
Wish I could be there.
I wish you could be, too. I wish you knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, following us on social media, you'd know.
I just breezed by. Like, don't believe everything, yeah. Right, on Facebook.
Right, right.
It's like, he's having a party. Yeah, right.
Yeah. So the real wild ass is where you're going to find us on all the socials.
All right, absolutely.
YouTube included. So hopefully you'll see a lot of highlights from the party, and I think I have a feeling this is going to be the first annual.
The first
street
annual
party we're going to throw.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I bet the town must love you.
You know, here's a funny story. You got to be in the right place at the right time and make yourself available, right?
Yeah.
So some friends of ours just moved back to Minnesota, bought a house 3 miles from me. They said, we're going motorcycling on Thursday nights. We make it a date night. Okay, cool. You know, if we're ever in town, we'll hit you up. So we hit them up. It worked out that we were in town. And they were bringing some friends and we were going to supper. And of course, I got to lead because I know all the roads, right?
Yeah.
And when you lead and when you we ride maybe a little differently, right? So I didn't want to be an asshole. So I'm like, I don't want to go flying and ripping through these corners and stuff. And I'm like, okay, watching my mirrors, making sure everything's good.
Right.
Ride was fantastic. We show up at this place for supper and, you know, get to talking to this couple. And they're super cool. Like, I had not met this other, the third couple. Super cool couple. And military background. Grew up in the same town where I started elementary school, which is about 100 miles west of here.
Wow.
And yeah, just small world, right? So, yeah. Well, what the hell brought you back to Minnesota, right? He's the city administrator of Brainerd, Minnesota.
No.
There you go.
So I said, well, yeah, that's cool. We're having the street party. Like, would you have had like some form of influence, or would you have had like a decision-making power on that or what? I said, there's, you know, it's a Shriners party. It's a fundraiser for the Shriners. And we're doing it in front of the shop. He's like, yeah, a guy came in for that. And I said, yeah. I said, I figured you weren't going to approve of a wild ass street party. And he goes, yeah, you're probably right. So with any luck, we'll have him here at the party and he'll see how much good we're doing. And the mayor's invited. The police are going to escort us in and out of town. So yeah. For the ride, it should be a pretty big event. We have the whole street shut down, which is probably where we're at. It's like a little half mile strip or something. Wow.
That's awesome.
Quarter mile.
But it's not officially called the Wild Ass Street Party.
Oh, that's what it's called.
That is what it's called.
Oh, yeah. It's even in the, oh, wait, today's Wednesday. It's supposed to be in the newspaper today.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, that's good for you, man.
I didn't
that's
think
awesome.
I'd get away with that one in the paper, but he wanted the picture with the bike and the wild ass side of the bike.
That's so fantastic. Hey, who knows? This may become another motorcycle rally people could attend.
It might.
It might. You never know.
Oh, that'd be really nice and close to home.
Yeah, it wouldn't be. It would be awesome.
Literally right here on the lot.
That's great. All right, Craig, listen, thank you very much for being on the show. I greatly appreciate it. Congratulations again. And hope to see you soon. You coming down to Myrtle Beach for the fall rally?
No.
No, you're not doing Myrtle Beach anymore.
Nope.
Nope. I don't blame you. it's nothing anymore.
When the city doesn't like motorcycles, I'm not a fan of the city.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. But well, you'll be in Daytona for Biketoberfest. And who knows? Maybe I'll make it down there.
Please do. It's not far away.
No, not. It's just a short little 8-hour ride. No big deal.
Yeah. Piece of cake.
Piece of cake. Do that in my sleep. So, but thank you very much for being on the show, Craig. You're the best. Don't go anywhere. I'll talk to you when we're done. All right.
Sounds good. Thank you, Ted.
All right. Peace out.
The Motorcycle Men podcast is supporting David's Dream and Believe Cancer Foundation. If you would like to help and be a part of something that makes a difference, donate today to David's Dream and Believe Cancer Foundation. Go to davidsdreamandbelieve.org to donate. Links will be in the show notes. And of course, as always, the Gold Star Ride Foundation, right? And helping families of fallen soldiers and making a difference in the lives of those left behind. If you would like to be a part of a great cause and get some heartfelt miles in, go to goldstarride.org and learn how you can participate in the next Gold Star Ride. Thank you for joining me and Craig here in the V2N Cafe, where we talked about Wild Ass Seats and his 10 years in business and more. You can learn more about Wild Ass Seats by getting on over to www.wild-ass.com. Don't forget to put that dash in there, wild-ass.com. Links will be in the show notes and, of course, on the Motorcycle Men website at motomenpc.com. Hey, don't forget to get on over to the Ride With Ted YouTube channel. Watch some of the many videos I have there. And if you would please also like and subscribe, that would be a tremendous help to the channel and, of course, to the podcast. And you can get your copy of my book, The Road Most Traveled, now direct from me on the Motorcycle Men website. And you get to save nearly $8. Of course, it's still available on Amazon, but if you want, you can get it from me. And if you want, I'll even sign it for you. All right, for the rest of the Motorcycle Men team, thanks for listening. And remember, boys and girls, we say stupid crap so you don't have to. Ride safely, kids.